Father, I would like to thank you once again, Lord, for this Sabbath day that you have blessed us with, that we can remember our Creator and our Redeemer. I thank you, Lord, for uniting us in this place of worship in your house. And I pray, Lord, it would be none other than Jesus Christ lifted up this morning, that he would receive all glory and praise. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercies, for bringing us through another week. As we receive this Sabbath, maybe your word that is spoken to our hearts, that it will be your Holy Spirit, Lord, speaking to us, that our ears would be open to hear what your Spirit has to say, that our hearts would be open to receive your Spirit, and that our eyes would behold wondrous things from your word. I thank you, Lord, for your mercies and forgiving us of our sins. Carry us out with this message, for we ask and we pray in the righteousness of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I'm very thankful to the Lord for the gospel. If there's something that we need to understand, is that the gospel is not a well-accepted message. Many times we want to somehow manipulate the word to be comfortable to our liking. But the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12 and verse 51, the very words of Jesus, "For many think that I have come to bring peace on earth, nay, but division." The reason why Jesus said that is because the truth, the gospel, will not always be freely accepted. It is freely given, but it will not always be freely accepted. However, that must not deter us or stop us from sharing the everlasting gospel. As we are told in Revelations chapter 14 and verse 6, "Behold, there was an angel with the everlasting gospel." Now, the word angel in the Greek, as many of us may already know, simply means a messenger. A messenger with the everlasting gospel, the gospel being good news. Now, if I were to ask, who here does not like to receive good news? Who would raise their hand to that? No, I don't think anyone would. However, when we receive good news, we're all freely willing to accept. And it goes very along the lines with the commission that Jesus originally gave his disciples in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, when he told them to go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If only we were to hold on to that gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, perhaps we would see changes occur in our homes. Perhaps we would see changes occur in our lives. Perhaps we would see changes occur in the world if we were to faithfully trust and obey what the Lord has to say. And I thank God that he has given us a special work. He's given us a great calling to carry that everlasting gospel to every tribe, to every tongue, to every nation, and to every people. He has given us a special gift, a special privilege to partake and cooperate in his work. What a blessing that is. What a privilege it is. And I thank God for that opportunity. Now, he gave the church a special work to do, as we've said. But I want us to notice what inspiration tells us. In Acts of the Apostles, page 9 and paragraph 1, "The church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. It was organized for service," and what does that part say? "Its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. From the beginning, it has been God's plan that through his church shall be reflected to the world his fullness and his sufficiency. The members of the church, those whom he has called out of darkness and into his marvelous light, are to show forth his glory." Now, to show forth the glory of God, what does someone need to first do? Do you remember the experience of Moses on the mountaintop? When he spoke in Exodus chapter 33 and chapters 34, when he spoke with God and he said, "Lord, show me thy glory." And the Lord said, "I will pass on to you my goodness I will pass on to you my long suffering. In other words, I will pass on to you my character, my glory. Would you like to have a mountaintop experience? Would you like to be part that are called out of darkness and into his marvelous light to show forth his character? We must have that mountaintop experience, brothers and sisters. Let us come in communion with the Lord and receive his glory. Let us fulfill the mission to carry out the gospel to the world, to reflect his character and reflect his glory. You know, the gospel is life-changing. The gospel can actually take a man, a woman, and transform the way they think. That's beautiful. It can actually take a man from ignorance and make him intelligent. It can make a man who lacks courage and make him bold. In fact, can someone read for me Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, please? Let us turn Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And if it's all right with everyone, this is going to be more of a little Bible study, if that's okay. I've come to learn that I'm not very good at speaking, so I prefer to let the Bible do it, all right? So Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible tells us, when we're there, we can say amen, please? Amen. All right. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am unashamed, or I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For what does it say it is? Amen. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. It is the power of God. That's where the transformation power comes into play. That's where, when we study out the life of Christ, when we study out the scriptures, Luke chapter 8 and verse 5 says that the gospel, the word of God, is like a seed. Now, do we have any gardeners here? Hey, sister. Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. There's something I'm learning. This is the first time I wouldn't even consider a garden. I just planted some tomatoes. My wife and I planted tomatoes. It's not really an official garden yet. But there's one thing I'm learning about the gospel and gardening. Just as a seed needs to be planted in favorable ground, needs to have nutrients from the soil, it needs to receive proper care and attention with water, sunlight, so that way it can grow and flourish. So it is that the gospel, being a seed, must be planted into a mind favorable to accept it, nurture it, and then the gospel will take place in the life. You see, it begins right here, in the mind. In the mind. And so it is that God, through the gospel, through his power, he is looking to transform the way that you and I can think so we can receive the gospel and that it would no longer be theory. It would no longer be a theology, but an experience with him. That is the power of God. That is the transformation that takes place in the life of a man who humbles himself and submits unto the gospel, the power of Jesus Christ. Now, there's another verse I want us to look at. I don't want to take too much time, so if someone would be kind enough to read for us 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, please. And if someone else would be kind enough and bold enough to read Hebrews 4, 2 after that, please.
Joy in the Holy Spirit, so that you became
Amen. Amen. So according to that, the gospel, it says the gospel came not only by word, amen, but by power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance that you would know the manner of men which were among you. So in other words, to preach the gospel, the everlasting gospel, is not simply for a man to stand on a pulpit as I am doing this morning or this afternoon and speaking. But it's much further than that. It's actually taking the gospel and learning how do I apply what the Lord is telling me into my daily living. That is practical Christianity. It is not just a man to share his ideas or theologies and say, look what I know, but it is, how is this practical in my life that I may, one, glorify God, and two, come to know God? True education, we'll go into that later. So 1 Thessalonians tells us, and then verse 6 says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Those who receive the word will not always be walking through a field of lilies, to say. Life will not always be easy. Life will not always be easy. But they received it with much joy with the help of the Holy Spirit. If only we can keep the Spirit in our hearts and experience our daily walk with him. And notice verse 7. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia. So not only did they receive the word, they lived it. And living that word, now they became what? Examples. Examples. And now the people could see this is the gospel in action. When we hold on to the gospel, brothers and sisters, then it is when the people will see this is the gospel in action. If someone could read Hebrews 4:2 now for me, please.
For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
So what is needed in order to receive the gospel preaching? Faith. 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 Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things not seen. That is, accepting that Lord, the Lord is calling me for something, and I will walk by faith, not by sight. It is not our circumstances that are ahead of us that we can say, Lord, I cannot move any further. It is, Lord, I will look beyond that circumstance. I will trust in you. I will trust that you have made a way if you are calling me to this. In my case, I'm not asking the Lord if he will call me to be a minister. My question is, Lord, when will it be? It is not if. The Lord is not, it's not if for us. It is when. When will I make a move for you, Lord? May you teach me. Let my life be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And move by faith. Whatever circumstance we are in right now, my brothers and sisters, it's only temporary. It is only temporary. The Lord will make a way for us to move forward only if we walk by faith. It must be mixed. It must be put together. You know, this reminds me of a man. Many of us are familiar with him. His name is Noah. Or I should say his name was Noah. And I think his story touches very much so. Let's look at Noah real quick. Patriarchs and Prophets tells us, while Noah was giving his warning message to the world, his works testified of his sincerity. It was thus that his faith was perfected and made evident. He gave the world an example of believing just what God says. All that he possessed, he invested in the ark. As he began to construct that immense boat on the dry ground, multitudes came from every direction to see the strange sight and to hear the earnest, fervent words of the singular preacher. Every blow struck upon the ark was a witness to the people. That was a combination of preaching and faith. You catch that? As James 2:20 says, for faith without works is alive? That's right, dead. Faith without works is dead. Noah, by building the ark, was proclaiming his faith and trust in God. Now I want to ask you something. How many of us believe a crisis is going to approach? Okay, I see a few hands up. If you know a crisis is approaching, and you proclaim this crisis is approaching, and someone says, what do I do to prepare? And you say, I don't know. Does that really, that might make you wonder, do I really believe a crisis is coming? So in other words, when Noah preached, if all he simply would have done was stand on a pulpit and say, the Lord is going to send a flood, and people said, Noah, how will we prepare? And he said, I don't know. The Lord will make a way. How do you think the listeners would have reacted to that one? I mean, okay, I guess the Lord will provide. I guess he'll make a way. But what Noah did was, not only did he say, listen, a crisis is coming. Not only did he say, a flood is going to take place, destruction will come upon the earth. He didn't only say that, but he said, I'm going to build an ark. That is mixing faith with the gospel. That is faith and good works. That is our calling, brothers and sisters. If we truly believe that God is calling us, it's time for us to get an ark to build. I'm not a carpenter, but I need to start learning. In other words, we need to get to work, trusting in the Lord, not working by impulse, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is the call that the Lord is making. Let's look at this one. I like this one a lot. This is a story of redemption, page 62, paragraph 3, and 63, paragraph 2. Noah was to preach to the people and also to prepare an ark, as God should direct him for the saving of himself and his family. He was not only to preach, but his example in building the ark was to convince all that he believed what he preached. That one hit me. That one hit me. There have been times, and I will admit this to you, my brothers and sisters, there's been times that I've heard preachers or even myself have preached and said something simply to make it sound nice. Simply to go along with the mechanics and flow of the Christian preaching without even sometimes believing what is said. That's happened before. But yet this is telling us that when Noah built the ark, it was almost, in other words, a testimony, evidence that he believed what God told him and what he was preaching. And every blow struck upon the ark was preaching. Did you catch that? Every blow struck upon the ark was preaching. It was not simply lip service or words, but if not, the action was a sermon in itself. Noah directed, he preached, he worked, while the people looked on in amazement and regarded him as a what? Fanatic. That goes back to what I said in the beginning. The gospel is not a very popular message. It seems to be popular when it's on television. It seems to be popular when we see and hear these preachers with stadiums filled. And sometimes I may even wonder if we think, man, I wish our church looked like that. But the reason why is because the works do not follow the preaching according to how the Lord has said it. In other words, if the message was like what Noah was telling the people, they would have done the same thing now what they did to Noah. This guy's crazy. This guy's a fanatic. He's a lunatic. And that's why the message will not always be freely accepted. But brothers, once again, I will repeat, and sisters, the gospel must be freely given. It must be experienced. And experienced where first? In the heart. And I pray, brothers and sisters, this morning, that we would accept the words of God upon our hearts and minds. That seed of the word, that seed of gospel, that seed of truth may be implanted in the mind. But just as I said, just as a seed needs to be favorable grounds in order to grow, the question that I'm going to ask this morning, how are we developing the soil in our minds? are the things that we're watching hindering the growth of the gospel? Are the things that we are listening to hindering the growth of that seed? Are the lives that we're living hindering, or I should say, as 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, do we have a form of godliness but deny its power? Do we hold the positions in the church and claim to be in a high position and yet be so far from God? For with their lips they speak, but their hearts are far from me. Is that our experience? And if it is, I'm not here to discourage you, but here to encourage you and let you know that there is still time. Just as Noah was preaching for over 100 years, that time of grace we are living, a time of grace, but do not sleep during this time of grace that we have. Let us accept the seed of the gospel, that it would take place in our hearts to flourish and to grow. You know, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 very quickly, please. I'm going to ask that we turn to Hebrews chapter 11. God bless you, sister. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. When you have it, you can say amen. That way we're on the same page. Amen. Hebrews 11, 7. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God the things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Which is by faith. Noah moved by faith. But there was a mix here, because it says he moved by faith, but what else did he move with? Yes, sister, thank you. Godly fear. What is godly fear? Reverence for God. Pretty straightforward. Let's look at Proverbs 16:6 very quickly, please. You could keep your finger on Hebrews 11, but brother, I agree with that statement. It is reverence. It is reverence. Let us look at what the Bible has to say. Proverbs 16:6. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. When we have it, we can say amen. Amen. And by mercy, I still hear some pages turning. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, what do men do? They depart from evil. When we make the call of fear God, we are saying depart from evil. I think that's what Noah did. He departed from the attention of the world. You know, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 in the story of Noah, it says that man, the imagination in the hearts of man was continually wicked. And Noah said, this is not for me. I prefer to be in harmony with the Lord than be in harmony with wicked men. And he fled. And he said, Lord, I will build what you are calling me to build. He fled iniquity. He fled the wickedness by faith. By faith. How does one develop faith? Romans 10:17, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. Are we listening to the word of God? Are we developing our faith in the word of God? Are we growing in the word of God? For babes drink milk, but sometimes it's time to put the milk to the side. Sometimes I get hungry. I need some of that solid food. We got to put the milk to the side and get to the solid food. We have to get into the word of God. By getting into the word of God, then we develop our faith. Then we walk by faith. Then it is our works by faith. And we develop a living faith, just like Noah. But there was another man that we might know. His name was Lot. Does anyone remember this man? I think we're all familiar with Lot. And what is it that Lot did? He broke away from Abraham. They were so rich. They had so much wealth and prosperity. They said, you know what? I think it's time for us to move our own ways. Abraham decided to be in the plain. And Lot decided to move just a little bit closer to Sodom. Just a tad bit. He wasn't in Sodom just yet. He was out in the plains, about 45 minutes away, we'll say, out in the suburbs. And not that there's anything wrong with the suburbs, but we're going to stick to this. Lot was close, and Genesis tells us, Genesis 13, 12 tells us that he pitched his tent facing Sodom. He faced Sodom. There was something about Sodom that caught his attention. And verse 13 tells us, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So while Noah, on one hand, fled and departed from evil, from wicked men, he walked in the fear of the Lord by faith and trusted and obeyed in the plan of God, we have the man Lot, who, instead of walking in the fear of the Lord, said, that looks attractive. Let me see what there is. And eventually, we know the story. Then, little by little, he crept into the city. Just little by little. It wasn't a great thing. Just one step after the other, little by little. Before you know it, he's in Sodom. He's in Sodom. Noah, by faith, as Hebrews 11:7, it says he prepared an ark, saving of his household, by which he condemned the world. You know, not only did Noah save himself, he saved his home. He led the example in the household. Something as a newlywed myself, I'm learning, okay, this is what I need to do. Because Lot took him, not only himself, he risked the life of his family in Sodom. The Bible tells us he had a wife, right? He had daughters, right? And how long did it take Lot to get out of the city? The angels had to grab him. The angels had, come with me, what are you doing? That the angels are like, come on. They grabbed him, pulled him out by the grace of God. We say amen to that, right? But this is the problem. Because as they escape, what happened to his wife? She turned back. Perhaps that's why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. That we would not turn back. I've noticed that sometimes, and this has happened to me, move off of impulse. Lord, I need to do this. And we move off of impulse without properly preparing ourselves for what God is calling us for, and we fall right back. And sometimes it's even worse. You fall so far back that there's no turning back. If that makes sense. We should remember Lot's wife, that we would not turn back. Why did she turn back, brothers and sisters? Where was her heart? In Sodom. Her heart was in Sodom. Have you ever heard the expression, you could take someone out of a certain place, but that place will never leave them? That was her experience. That was her experience. She was physically out of the city, but her heart was in the city. Her heart was there. And I understand Lot's intentions and motives, that perhaps he wanted to live a more prosperous life. We know city life pays good money. Perhaps he wanted a way to provide for his family. And I can understand that. But sometimes we get so caught up in the systems and ideology of the world that we replace what God has said for a moment of prosperity. I remember as a young man, as a child, my father immigrated here from Mexico back in the 70s. And one thing he has always told me, Will, go to school. You have to get a good job. You have to make money, and good money, not just enough money, good money, so that you can survive. And somehow that imprinted in my mind. And when I did not live up to that stature, you know how I felt? Like I'm good for nothing. Lord, I have not reached the potential of making so much money. Lord, I have not held a high prestigious position. Am I really good for nothing? And it's when I realized the world has a certain system, a certain form of making people think that if you do not live up to the stature of the world, of its system, you are no good. If there's any young people that can relate to me, I know what you're thinking if you can relate to me on this, and I'm going to tell you, the Lord has plans. They may not be as the world. You see, we've been raised in a form and a way of thinking that, we have to live up to a certain statute of the world, a certain status. The Lord's status is completely different, but I can guarantee you it's a lot wealthier. And I'm not talking possessions. I'm not talking possessions. A brother the other day said to me, Will, the Lord said thou shalt live in abundance, right? I said, yeah, but not in abundance of the things of this world. Seriously, not in the things of this world. The Lord doesn't want us to be stuck like Lot's wife whose heart was in the things of this world. What's going to happen when Jesus comes and he tries to pull us out? There will be no pulling out. It's either let the righteous be righteous still, let the wicked be wicked still. There is no pulling out. So we must be ready now. We must get ready now. The time is now. God's system is far better than the system of this world, and I thank God for him revealing this to me. I thank God that he takes time out to listen to us. Because sometimes the ways of this world could just boggle us down, tie us down. Sometimes we could think that the things we have is really ours. I want you to think about that. I was studying with a pastor the other day. He made it so clear to me like night and day. He said, Will, you're going to work one day for a house. You're going to pay a mortgage off, right? But we still have something called taxes, right? And if we don't pay the taxes, what happens? We still lose the house. So is the house ours? No. You get what I'm saying? Like, we work so hard. We work so hard. We put all our energy and efforts in the things of this world. And it's not even ours. It's not even ours. So the Lord, praise God for that. The Lord allows me to see that, you know what, Will? Stop trying to be what the world wants you to be. Stop. And I think he's saying that this morning to our beloved brothers, my beloved brothers and sisters, stop. Stop trying to live up to the status quo. I understand, as I said, when my father immigrated, I understand that a man wants better prosperity for his sons and his daughters, his family. I want that too, but I'm starting to realize not the way that the world calls prosperity. Let us move like Noah, with fear, with reverence, departing from iniquity, departing from the ways of this world, and coming closer to him. Preparing, just as Noah prepared an ark. Let us get this ark together. Let us work together. We don't have time to look at each other's flaws, each other's defects, because one thing the Bible tells me is that all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. I can't stand here on this pulpit and say, nope, not me. I've sinned too, my brothers and sisters. We're in this together. We're in this together. We got to start building this ark. We got to get to work. Because the time is coming. The time is coming. Fear God and give glory to him. That time is near. For the hour of judgment is come. Not will come, is come. The time is now, brothers and sisters. Let us not think as Lot thought. I'll just stay in the city for a little while. I'll make my money just for a little while. He made it out. His wife didn't. What happened to his daughters? They got out physically, yes. But what did they do after they got out? Sodom was still in their minds. Just like their mother, they were worse. That's important for us to understand. I think that's a lesson in itself. Sometimes we think we're all right because we're in a church. But our hearts could still be in Sodom. Our hearts could still be in the ways of this world. And there's something that overcame the world. According to 1 John, I believe it's chapter 5, tells us, for it is our faith that overcometh the world. Jesus Christ said, for fear not, I have overcome the world. It is our faith in Jesus Christ. It is our faith in our Redeemer that will give us victory. We can obtain victory over self. Maybe not tomorrow, but day by day. We can obtain victory over sin, maybe not right now, but day by day, step by step, in Christ Jesus. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, that was a common verse when I was in school. People always say, oh, I could do all things. I could pass this exam. I can become who I want to be in Christ. But the question is, are we really applying that in our spiritual walk? Do we believe we can overcome sin? Do we believe that we can prepare an ark as Noah did and be prepared for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Let us move by faith. Let us grow our faith in hearing the word of God. Let us come into a communion with God as Moses on the mountaintop experience, that we would be able to carry out the very image and character of Jesus Christ. That is my prayer. That is our calling. And if there's anyone who felt the Spirit touching their hearts and saying, Lord, that Spirit saying, get ready. There's an ark to build. If someone felt the tug or the conviction that, Lord, my heart is still in Sodom. My heart is still in the ways of this world and saying, Lord, create in me a clean heart. If there's someone here this morning saying, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, I want you to stand, please. And in standing, but I want you, before you move, before you stand, please think about this. This is serious. This is not, I'm just going to stand because everybody else is standing. No, I'm serious, because people do that. People do that. Oh, well, everyone's standing, so I have to stand. I don't want you to feel that you have to stand. I want you to think about, if the Spirit is convicting me, Lord, I know I have not been preparing. I know that my mind is boggled down with the ways of this world. Just as the seed that was taken over by the thorns, the worries of this world. Lord, I have worries in my life. But you're saying, Lord, I want to give them to you. I want to prepare my home. I want to prepare my heart for your second coming. And as you stand, I ask that you reverently bow your heads in a word of prayer.
Spoken clearly to your people. We have heard, Lord, the time to get ready is now. Help us, Lord. There are difficulties in our life that you already know of. But I pray, Lord, that we may walk by faith and not by sight. That we may know and come unto understand that you have a perfect plan. Help us, Lord, to experience true knowledge of you. To have a true experience with you, not just a religious or church experience, but Lord, a true day-to-day life experience with you. And Lord, begin in our hearts and work your way into our homes. For just as Noah moved by faith, he did not only save himself, but he saved his household. There are many of us who are parents, or many of us who may plan to be parents. Lord, help us to lead by example. Help us to walk in the fear of the Lord, to depart from iniquity. Just as Jesus was baptized with the Spirit, that he would walk in the fear of the Lord, I pray we may have that Christ-like experience. Teach us to walk as he walked. Teach us to walk in the Spirit. Teach us, Lord, to prepare for your second coming, that we would be a people ready to see you when you return face to face. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies and for forgiving us of our iniquities and transgressions. And help us this day, Lord, to walk with you, even as Noah and Enoch walked with you. I thank you, Lord. I ask and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.